One year I decided to be all sort of relaxed and easy to buy for. And I said, listen, I don't mind what you get me. Whatever you give me will be really special and I'll love it. I was given a paper slicer. And at that moment, I was surprised. At that moment, I pledged to start a list. So never again would I not know what I wanted for a present. No more guillotines for me. Actually, you can tell quite a lot about someone by the presents they get given. I mentioned that my wife and I got given an ashtray for our wedding. Well, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry got given the title Duke and Duchess of Sussex. We're dealing with slightly different calibers of present because you're dealing with slightly different caliber people when it comes to the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Now, I ought to say, we got some lovely gifts for our wedding, gifts that are both useful and beautiful, and I'm delighted with. So I don't want this to become a rant by me. But I do want to say, what you get given reveals something about who you are. And so it is with Jesus. He gets three presents. He gets given gold, incense, and myrrh. You're probably familiar with them from the readings we've had, from the carols that we've sung. But the surprise is that they actually tell us about who Jesus is and why he came. Before we get into the unwrapping of Jesus' presence, as it were, allow me to do some myth-busting. What we're dealing with in the familiar stories that you've heard from the Bible is history. It isn't legend, it isn't fairy tale, it isn't a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No. The reading we just had speaks of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. That's real geography. In the time of Herod the king, that's real history. So it matters, the Christmas story. What goes on there is significant, is true. So indulge me with a little bit of myth busting. The givers of the gifts were magi. They weren't kings. They were probably top boffins, people who were learned and wise. I guess they might have been a bit like the chancellors of Oxford and Cambridge University. They were from the ruling class of their particular nation. The second thing is we've got no idea how many there were. Sure, there were three presents, but we aren't told how many people brought the presents. When they arrive in Jerusalem, there's enough of them so that the whole city is stirred. Might have been three. There might have been 30. Thirdly, just glance at the back of our orders of service, and you'll see where they meet Jesus. Turn right to the back there, you'll see Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, where they meet Jesus on coming to the house. Jesus isn't in the animal's feeding trough anymore. He's gone indoors. He's grown up a bit. Now, none of this makes Christmas any less wonderful or any less significant. But I need you to know tonight what you're hearing is serious, not sentimental. So back to the presents. Back to what they tell us about Jesus. Well, we see there, don't we, in that verse, they open their treasures and presented him with gifts. The first, gold. In the Bible, gold is inextricably linked with kingliness. Gold is the thing you give if you are a king. And if you want to show off as a king, you give it to your subjects. Now, I've got to confess, it's not the kind of gift I would ever think to give a toddler. Partly because I don't have any of it. But even if I did, I would give the toddler something from Fisher Price. But they do, and in so doing so, they want us to see something about who Jesus is. They give to Jesus gold because he's a king. Jesus is a king, and this verse wants us to see it. Why and how do we see it? Well, notice what happens to these foreign bigwigs as they come into the house. Glance down again at that verse. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. In a very physical way, they say, Jesus, you're a king. A little dribbly toddler, with a snotty nose, they say, you are a king. You are in a place of authority over us. And they illustrate that by getting right down low in the dirt and saying, you are higher than us. With all their riches, with all their learning, with all their wisdom, they get down on their knees. It's worth pausing here, isn't it? And asking, what is it that they're seeing in this toddler? And do we see it too? Because the scriptures are absolutely clear. Jesus is a king. They've been on quite a trip, haven't they? They brought pretty expensive gifts, and actually, the Bible tells us, understandably looking for a king, they went to the palace. And when they were told to go to Bethlehem, well, they pulled up at a two-bed semi. Not very impressive. But there they are, in front of Jesus, on their knees, because he's a king. And I just want us to see that Jesus is actually the king who we long for. I don't know how the last 4 weeks have left you. Exhausted, confused, frustrated, angry. Well, we've spent the last 4 weeks trying to decide who it is who we want to lead us. Or perhaps who we dislike the least to be our leader. We long for good, selfless leadership. And in Jesus, we have it. The Magi meet him for the first time. They are overcome and they bow down before him. I wonder if that's something you could ever picture yourself doing. Next up, he's given incense. Frankincense. An aromatic resin. Significantly, an aromatic resin that was burnt before God throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, people were told to take their gifts, their offerings, to the Lord, to the temple, and there the priest would mix those gifts and offerings with this incense and burn it. And once again, you're left thinking, that is a very odd gift to give a toddler, isn't it? Turn up at your three-year-old niece's birthday party with a box of this, and you won't be invited to her fourth birthday party, is my suggestion. But Mary and Joseph would have seen it and recognized it. And they would have thought, this is the stuff that priests use. This is the stuff that symbolizes a relationship between God and his people. In effect, the Magi are saying, this toddler is a go-between. Between people and God. He's an intermediary. If you like, he's a fixer. And it's weird because these people didn't know Jesus. They'd only just met him. And yet what they bring him tells us a huge amount about who he is. The even weirder idea for us is that if we think about God at all, we don't imagine we need a priest. We don't imagine we need a fixer, someone to go between us and God. If we think about God at all, we think, you know what? Me and God, we're fine. We're all right. I don't bother him. He doesn't bother me. Well, I'm afraid Christmas, rather shockingly, says that is not true. We are not fine with God. The coming of this child says once and for all, actually, we need help when it comes to our relationship with God. And the experience of most Christmases, the experience of this Christmas will bear that out, will remind us that actually we're not even okay with our families. If there hasn't already been, there will be stress this Christmas, won't there? There will be frustration. There will be unkindness. And that's even amongst people who we love dearly. The heady mix of enforced fun, of seeing people who you're related to but can't quite remember the name of the person they're married to, and alcohol will result in the fact that offence will be given and offence will be taken. You see, God calls me to love my neighbour as myself, and I fail to do that. I can't even do that for a day with people who I share a house with. And that means there's a problem between me and God, and it means I need help. And the glorious news of Christmas is that Jesus is that help. He's my go-between. He can sort out the fact that I've basically lived in God's world like a spoilt toddler. You see, I've opened all the presents under the tree, whether they were for me or not. I've opened them all. And I haven't said thank you to anyone. And that means there's a problem between me and God. I don't thank him for the most basic of things, for warm clothes, for good food, for a dry place to live. I need help, and Jesus is that help. And how he helps is the subject of our last gift. It's actually the most bizarre of the lot. He's given myrrh, or as we might say, embalming fluid. He's given embalming fluid. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Try turning up on Christmas Day to whoever you're going to spend Christmas lunch with a wrapped coffin. Happy Christmas, you say. That's what they're doing here. Turning up with myrrh. I mean, it makes the ashtray seem the best, most sensitive present you can ever give. But this inappropriateness, this embalming fluid, points us to who Jesus is and why he came. You see, he came to die. It was him dying. That was the way in which you and me can be right with God. That's the way in which we can be fixed in our friendship with God. Jesus is on a mission. He's on a mission to save. He's like a lightning rod. I wonder if you've ever been standing in a building when it's been struck by lightning. I went to a school that had a tower in with sort of classrooms on various different levels, and it had a sort of funny archway at the bottom. And I was on my way to my next lesson, and it was throwing it down with rain, just like it's been doing today. You know, the rain when it's bouncing up off the tarmac. Well, it was absolutely chucking it down. And then before I was really conscious of it, I just realized that me and the group of my friends who I was standing with, we were all crouched down like that, almost instinctively, because there'd been this most phenomenal noise as the tower we were standing under was struck by lightning. But rather than the tower having to deal with the 30,000 degrees of centigrade of the lightning bolt, rather than the tower having to deal with the 200,000 miles an hour of speed of the lightning bolt, rather than the tower having to deal with the 1 billion volts of the lightning bolt, it was the lightning rod that took it safely down to the ground. No windows blew out, no fires broke out, no small boys huddling out of the rain were fried, because the lightning rod took all of that energy and dissipated it into the ground. Jesus is the lightning rod. He's given a coffin by the Magi because he came to die. Christmas is the last act of a massive rescue mission, because you and I deserve death for the way in which we've treated others and God. But Jesus comes to join us in our mess so that he might take the punishment that we deserve. He protects us from the judgment that should rightly fall on us. And he does that as he hangs on a cross halfway between heaven and earth outside Jerusalem. Listen, this isn't comfortable. I'm not pretending it is. It isn't twinkly. It isn't cute, but it is true. And it's important, and we need to hear it this Christmas. This is the reason why Jesus' birth is still celebrated 2,000 years after it happened. And it's the reason why we as a church family exist. We think everyone deserves a chance to make an informed decision about this extraordinary baby. And we'd love to invite you to come along. Do come back to other evenings here. But more than that, we'd love to invite you to a series of evenings we run called Christianity Explored, which just look at the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. They're starting on the 14th of January. They'll be just through in the church lounge. It's going to be informal. We won't ask you to sing or to pray or to read or to pay. And if you come to the first one, you're not committing yourself to anything. But we'd love to have you because we think this is really, really important. Gold, incense, and myrrh. They're curious presents to give a toddler. They're expensive presents to give a toddler. But the Magi give lavishly because they recognize that Jesus has come to give his all. Jesus is the best present any of us could receive this Christmas. I wonder if you have. I enjoyed watching that film. I watched it with my daughters. They haven't seen it before. And one of them said, "Why's nobody opened the present?" And I thought, yeah, that's the point of it, isn't it? Why's nobody opened the present? I'm going to pray that this Christmas we would all open the present that God gives to us in the person of Jesus. Let me pray. Our Father, we ask, please, that you would help us to be like those Magi who stopped at nothing to meet your King, and who, when they saw him as he truly is, bowed down, worshipped him, and gave themselves to him. Amen. Well, I'm just going to close this part of our service with a prayer. Let me encourage you to stay and to chat, refill your glasses if you would like to. And let me also say, I'm fully aware that not everyone would want to come to an evening to think a little bit more about Jesus. But I'm confident that all of us would be happy to take a copy of this. It's called The Gift. It's actually a book that's been written in partnership with the film that we've just seen. And it's available at the table just at the back. The strapline says, "What if Christmas gave you what you've always wanted?" I hope that'll pique your appetite. It's 50 short pages. Do please take one with our compliments and read it and think a little bit more about this Jesus. Let me close our time together with a prayer, and then we'll stand and sing one last carol together. Father, it's been so good to be together, to hear again familiar words, familiar carols, to enjoy singing those things together. We pray, please, that the birth of this baby, which we celebrate, will be a source of blessing and joy and strength to us now and as we look forward into the new year. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.